This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Over the past few years, banks around the country have begun to offer services to customers who do not have Social Security numbers, most of whom are in the country illegally. Now, Bank of America has gone beyond checking accounts and mortgages to offer credit cards. The nation's second biggest bank says the program is both legal and good business. Critics charge Bank of America with crossing a line by aiding and abetting people who broke the law. At half past the hour, we'll speak with Democratic presidential hopeful Bill Richardson, now the governor of New Mexico. If you have questions, you can email us now, talk@npr.org. But first, credit cards for undocumented immigrants. If you have questions about how the program works, about its legality, or about its wisdom, our number here is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. And we begin with Miriam Jordan, who, along with Valerie Bauerlein, wrote about this story in the Wall Street Journal. She joins us here in Studio 3A. It's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you.
From what I know, in order to get a credit card, you have to provide a Social Security number. How does this program work? What alternate identification is acceptable?
Well, first of all, of course, just as in opening a checking account or savings account at Bank of America or any other bank, undocumented immigrants are just required to show either a Mexican identification card known as a matricula consular or a passport, sometimes a combination of IDs, a passport, sometimes they have a driver's license, a voter registration card from back home. In this case, to become eligible for this, all they need to have is a checking account, in addition to presenting the ID, of course, with the bank for 3 months without an overdraft.
So some minimal record of fiscal probity and whatever ID is required, including this consular matricula is what it's called?
Yeah, it's called a matricula consular. It's an ID issued by Mexican consulates across the U.S. to, Mexicans living in America, regardless of their immigration status.
And up till now, you generally needed a Social Security number to open a bank account. To get a credit card, rather.
Yes. I mean, I think what Bank of America is pioneering here is that it's opening up the opportunity for folks who do not have a Social Security number to also lack a credit history to obtain a credit card that will help them build their credit history or borrowing history in this country.
And indeed, the way you describe it in your article, that's really the Bank of America's selling idea. This is the way to, once you've got a credit card, then you can go on and get a car and a house and the American dream.
Absolutely. Exactly. I mean, the literature that is available at the Bank of America branches in Los Angeles offering this credit card, have an illustration of a checkbook, credit card, car, and house in ascending order, and kind of a slogan, how to build your credit step by step. Many members of this immigrant community are not comfortable with plastic or, aren't really financially literate. So, the simplified fashion of explaining the benefits of acquiring this card is obviously a very smart marketing tool on the part of the bank.
Well, on the other hand, it's a high-risk marketing tool. I mean, how do they gauge the risks involved in people who, by definition, don't have a credit history?
Well, I mean, I think they're placing a big bet on this market. Obviously, they feel that if these people are their clients in good standing, that they will be, in a sense, grateful for the opportunity to obtain a credit card when no other banking institution is willing to offer a credit card to them, and will perform well as cardholders, paying in a timely fashion, and not surpassing their limit on spending.
We're speaking with Miriam Jordan, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal who covers immigration issues, about a new program by the Bank of America offering credit cards to undocumented workers. If you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. And let's turn to Michael. Michael's with us on the phone from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Michael.
Yeah, this is the first time I have actually heard about the story, and as soon as y'all started talking about it, I was just immediately outraged at the fact of I'm a 27-year-old American, and I have less than perfect credit, given we all have our faults. And to hear that these, you know, legal immigrants are able to get credit cards, you know, basically with, you know, no kind of history is outrageous. And I was wondering, what do the banks, you know, what do they feel they could benefit by allowing the illegal immigrants to do this?
Well, as we just heard from Miriam Jordan, they hope to develop a loyal clientele who will come back to them as the result of being able to get credit cards when from this particular bank, the Bank of America, when nobody else was offering it. But Miriam Jordan, I'm not sure that Michael is going to be the only person who is outraged at this.
Exactly. I mean, following the article's publication, I've been flooded with emails from critics of the concept, you know, folks who you know, feel very strongly that the United States and U.S. businesses in particular should not in any way be courting or catering to this population of immigrants whose status is illegal.
Mm-hmm. Michael, we wish you the best of luck working out your credit problems.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I do appreciate it.
Okay, thanks very much for the call. And it's interesting that for your article, you were able to speak with officials from the Bank of America who explained their business logic behind this and anticipating some perhaps controversy when this became public. We invited officials from Bank of America onto this program to explain many of the same things. They declined. I wonder, based on the reactions you've been getting, Miriam, might they be a little scared to talk about this at this particular moment?
I believe so. I mean, based on the, as I mentioned, based on the kind of messages that I've been receiving from readers since the early morning, I anticipate that Bank of America has also been, you know, possibly barraged with criticism either from people who bank there or from others who have strong feelings about the issue of illegal immigration, which, you know, is a very heated one at the moment that is really polarizing this country.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. And this is James. And James calling us from Salisbury, Maryland.
Yes, hi. How are you doing today?
Very well, thanks.
Yes, my comment is that I'm not exactly not a proponent of illegal immigration, so to speak, but these people are in our country, and they are here trying to make a living and support their families. And to offer them credit cards, which have been, like, what is, like, the idea that, like, you know, like, the average American has, like, $6,000 worth of credit card debt. And to offer immigrants this kind of opportunity to engage in that same kind of credit card debt is ethically wrong. I mean, like, they're not going to be able to pay off these credit card debts if they happen to, to have them. And they don't have no legal recourse as illegal immigrants to, in case they do.
Uh-huh. And another point on this, Miriam Jordan, is the interest rates on these credit cards being offered to undocumented workers are higher than the normal interest rates.
Yes, they are slightly higher. But, you know, to be fair to Bank of America, I mean, you know, the retailers who are out there, and there aren't that many offering, like, store credit cards to this population, also charge fairly high interest rates. Yes, because, you know, this population is not a subprime market population, but it is a population that, you know, with a high risk associated with it. I mean, yes, some of them conceivably could be deported any day. And I don't know where that would leave Bank of America.
Mm-hmm. Would leave, presumably, them still with some debts, no matter where they live. But in any case, James, thanks very much for the call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Joining us now on the phone from New York is Bob Justick, a senior managing director of Bear Stearns Asset Management. And thanks very much for being with us today.
Good afternoon.
The story of corporate America providing financial assistance to illegal immigrants is not new. Western Union has been using the remittances market for some time, people sending money back home. So what is new about the idea of a credit card?
Well, I don't think the credit card idea is new. I think what may be new about this story is the marketing approach. But clearly, going back years, I have known and spoken to and interviewed immigrants who are undocumented who have gotten credit cards simply by opening a bank account here in the United States, having a deposit on hand, and maintaining a balance and then getting sent a pre-approved credit card. So I think the story's a little misleading in the sense that we should be shocked and that this is news. And also it's a little bit misleading in the sense that most stories that we hear about immigrants relate to Mexicans. And, you know, the story is a much broader story than that. Mm-hmm. The immigrant population or illegal immigrant population is approximately 20 million people in the country. And it's the fastest growing market segment for a lot of businesses.
20 million? The number I hear is 11 million.
Well, we did a study that said that the census numbers are incorrect, that that most illegal people that we interview do not fill out a census form. And if you look at the remittance market, if you look at school enrollment in gateway cities for immigration, and if you look at other patterns and footprints, including border crossings and people overstaying their visas, mm-hmm. We think the number is double. Mm-hmm. It's kind of counterintuitive to think that an illegal person would fill out a census form.
All right. And Miriam Jordan, another point that was raised by Bob Justick, the idea that obviously this is just a Mexican community is, of course, it's much more complicated than that. But this program is being rolled out in Los Angeles, where the overwhelming number of illegal immigrants are indeed Mexican, correct?
Right, indeed. I mean, you know, obviously there are immigrants. I mean, when I was visiting one of these branches, I sat next to a woman from Senegal who was applying for the card. There were, you know, Russian immigrants there as well. But the program is all about the Hispanic market. And in Los Angeles, the lion's share of that market is Mexican.
Let's get back to this after we come back from a short break. We're speaking with Miriam Jordan of The Wall Street Journal and Bob Justick, a senior managing director of Bear Stearns Asset Management, about a new program offered by the Bank of America offering credit cards to people without social security numbers in this country. The majority of those people are illegal aliens. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about a controversial move by Bank of America to market credit cards to illegal immigrants. The story's on the front page of today's Wall Street Journal. Still with us, Miriam Jordan, one of the Wall Street Journal reporters who wrote that piece, and also Bob Justick, a senior managing director of Bear Stearns Asset Management. If you have questions about how this program works, its legality, or its wisdom, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk at npr.org. Just a reminder, in 10 minutes' time, we'll be joined by Governor Bill Richardson, who hopes to win the Democratic presidential nomination, so stick around for that conversation. You can send questions to him by email now as well. Again, the address is talk at npr.org. And let's get back to another listener on the line. This is Larry. Larry's with us from Sheridan, Oregon.
Yes, with the emphasis on the word illegal immigrant, doesn't that inherently make them a criminal? And then aren't the banks aiding and abetting criminal action?
What did Bank of America tell you, Miriam Jordan, about the legality of this program?
Bank of America said that it was in compliance with all banking and Homeland Security regulations in rolling out this program.
And I wanted to ask ask you, Bob Justick, is legality an issue here?
Well, I don't think legality is an issue in a sense, because I think the federal government has a de facto policy of allowing immigrants to come into the country, and immigrants also have the opportunity to attend public schools, use many other services. So it brings up a very good question as to is a public school in violation for providing an education to an illegal student? So this is a very broad issue, which I guess by and large the country has ignored.
Larry, thanks.
Okay, thank you. I guess let's emphasize the word illegal. If illegal is illegal, it's illegal.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to, this is Jason. Jason with us from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes. My question is this. when the average American goes to apply for a credit card, bank account, et cetera, we have to provide, they force us to provide a Social Security number, et cetera, ways that we can be tracked and our credit history can be tracked. And should we default on credit card loans through a bankruptcy procedure or other means, they don't forgive with the recent changes in credit laws. We are not 100% forgiven anymore, and they will come after us and force us to pay monthly payments, et cetera, to somehow pay all or a portion of our debt back. These individuals cannot be tracked that easily. That is a proven fact. Very difficult to track them. I just believe that this is going to be one additional drain that we as taxpaying American citizens are going to have to pay in addition, not for only our debt, but for the debt of people here illegally, again, providing only one more drain into the system in addition to schools, public safety, et cetera. What's your take on that?
Well, Miriam Jordan, presumably the risk involved in perhaps tracking down people who don't pay their debts on their credit cards, presumably that's a reason why there's higher interest rates and a deposit demanded of people who are taking out these credit cards?
Right, exactly. And I don't think, you know, should these people default, I don't think that it would be for American taxpayers to shoulder the burden. I think it would be Bank of America's responsibility to deal with that.
But if Bank of America is going to have to come up with the money out of profits, et cetera, fees or other ways that they charge those customers who are good customers, therefore, the good customers are going to end up shouldering the cost of those additional people who are going to be much more difficult to attract track.
And that assumes, Jason, that this turns out to be bad business. And that's a question we can turn to ask to Bob Justick.
Correct.
And in fact, one of the interesting parts of the Wall Street Journal story, Mr. Justick, was in fact projections about how this is not only good business, but in fact this is going to be vital business, not just for Bank of America, but for many other financial institutions.
Yeah, it is very vital business. It's huge revenues. Remittance flows, for example, back to Mexico are approximately $20 billion a year, and the fees on that are very, very high, and that's where the banks have gotten very excited about businesses with cross-border flows.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
In terms of who would pay for this, on a larger scale, let's say if all illegal immigrants were sent back tomorrow and we had large-scale defaults, the taxpayer would share some of the burden, possibly through FDIC insurance.
Okay. Jason, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And it was interesting, particularly in the case of Bank of America, Miriam Jordan, this is an institution that has grown by acquiring other banks, largely, as you point out in your article, and it's just about hit the cap of what it's able to do in that regard.
Right. I mean, Bank of America is bumping up against this new regulatory cap that bars any U.S. bank from an acquisition that would give it more than 10% of the nation's total bank deposits. So Bank of America's only way to grow domestically is to sell more products to existing customers or to attract new ones. And actually, the object of this credit card program is to do both, because Bank of America reported to me that since it launched this program at five branches on a pilot scale in Los Angeles, those branches were not only, you know, attracting existing customers to the product, that is the credit card, it's also drawing, you know, new folks to open accounts there. So it's a twofold thing.
Here's an email we got from Betsy in New Orleans. I think it's wonderful that people who are now working in the U.S. can get the safety of banking. I believe that undocumented workers have been the single most important workforce helping to rebuild New Orleans. I'm grateful for them to be here when we need builders and carpenters. I commend Bank of America for being honest about the role of undocumented workers in the USA. And let's go to Victor. Victor's with us from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hello, Victor. Go ahead, please.
How you doing?
Okay.
Thank you for accepting my call.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to say is the IRS, as a legal institution, accepts taxes from illegal immigrants all the time on a regular basis, because all illegal immigrants are under a payroll. They pay taxes to them. So I see Bank of America do it. All they're doing is trying to improve the financial status of people, although whether they're illegal or legal, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
What really matters is our economy in general is improving by people money being invested in this country and not going back to El Salvador or Guatemala or anywhere else.
And Miriam Jordan, these tax numbers issued by the IRS are also important identifiers used by the banks, no?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is not unfamiliar to them. And the fact that these people have tax numbers shows that they're paying taxes, whether they're
right.
getting their remittances back. That's another issue.
Right.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Victor.
Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye. Let's go to this is. Oh, excuse me. I hit the wrong button there. This is Mabel. Mabel's with us from Glenwood Spring.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I love it. Capitalism is doing everything that our democracy will not. Capitalism is welcoming them here and giving entree to our great civilization. How nice.
Bob Justick, let me ask you to respond to that. Indeed, as everybody's pointed out, this is a very divisive political issue, yet the marketplace seems to have come up with some formulas.
Well, I think that was a brilliant, insightful statement in that capitalism does seem to have the stronger hand than government, not only in this instance, but globally, in terms of doing trade with China, in terms of companies, large tech companies reaching out all over the world. And there's many other industries that are involved in this market, including satellite TV companies, cell phone companies. The housing market has benefited from it. So globalization has set up a network that has certainly trumped government.
Yes, and our government is busy building walls. So that's why I like this idea of capitalism trumping that.
Thanks very much for the call, Mabel. Appreciate
Bye.
It. Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line, and this will be Tristan. Tristan's with us from San Antonio in Texas.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question similar to one of the other callers, and so I'm off the cuff here. I think that if we can forget about the patients who are may come over the border in the future, there are, and just focus on the people who are already here, and also make the assumption that the people who are against these credit card offers are, you could lump them into the anti-immigration category, and they're outraged, but ironically, this may be just what they want. You have two opportunities here. These illegal immigrants, who may be in some ways a drain on society, will either get these cards and succeed, buy houses, pay taxes, so they're paying school taxes and all those other things, become productive members of society, or they will fail miserably with these credit cards, and who knows where, you know, what will end up with them then. Will they end up back in Mexico or whatnot? But I think that this whole experiment is brilliant, and it could actually be a weed-out system. Which of the illegal immigrants are going to become productive members of society and which won't?
Mm-hmm. And and Bob Justick, I think that is an element of, at least tapping into this market is an important element of what Bank of America and these other institutions are trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think companies will go after the market that is in front of them.
Wherever it is.
Wherever it is.
Okay. Tristan, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Here's an email question. This from Paul in Michigan. Will INS or DHS, that's the Immigration and Naturalization Service or the Department of Homeland Security, be able to subpoena the company's records and use credit card transactions to track illegal immigrants' whereabouts? Did that come up in your conversations with Bank of America there, Miriam Jordan?
No, that didn't come up. I can't answer that one.
Okay. Let's see if we can go to, this is Adam. Adam with us from Iowa.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to thank Bank of America for doing something like this for us. We come from various countries. It's not easy to get into the country. And then it's not easy to come over here and be denied and rejected of all the opportunities that most Americans that were born in the United States have.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in regards of people thinking that we're exploiting the system, we're not. We're actually more responsible than most people because we have a family and people that we care about that we have to be responsible for, you
mm-hmm.
know? Most of us work 14, 18 hours a day, you know?
And by when you say we, are you an undocumented worker and an illegal alien?
Yes, yes.
And,
I've been here 18 years.
And do you have credit?
No, not yet. This is a great opportunity that we have right now. The fact that we actually pay taxes, like Rita said, we pay taxes. We cannot reclaim those taxes because obviously we're illegal here. We pay our taxes, though.
All right, Adam, as it works out, I think you're going to end up with the last word on this. We appreciate your phone call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And we'd like to thank Adam for his call. Bob Justick, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Bob Justick is managing, senior managing director of Bear Stearns Asset Management, and he wrote a report for that company called The Underground Labor Force is Rising to the Surface. He joined us by phone from his office in New York. And thanks as well to Miriam Jordan, a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. You can read her story on this on today's front page of that newspaper. She joined us here in Studio 3A and will no doubt be more than thrilled to get back to her home and office in Los Angeles after she escapes this East Coast weather. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
In just a moment, Bill Richardson. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.